Welcome to the Artie's Attic Warehouse 13 fan cast, where a steampunk girl, a lifelong sci-fi fan, and a rocket scientist chat about the popular 2009 sci-fi series. There's never a dull moment with the agents dedicated to protect humankind from unexplained phenomena that manifest their powers in special objects. And there's all those friendships and relationships along the way. Grab a cookie while you can. Hope you don't smell fudge. Gear up with your Farnsworth Tesla and neutralizer. And let's have some fun by snagging it, bagging it, and tagging it. Welcome back to Artie's Attic. We're a Warehouse 13 fan cast. I'm the Warehouse 13 janitor, currently checking and double checking and triple checking the warehouse for any H.G. Wells booby traps. My name is SP.
You said booby traps.
Boobies.
You said booby.
It's she's boobies. What's up, guys?
And introducing Artie's Attic, lead agent and historian who prefers to dispose of worthless lawyers instead of dealing with paperwork. It's Agent Shannon.
Ain't that the truth? Yes.
That's for sure. Yeah. I could see her doing that.
Yes.
And also joining us is the warehouse agent who simultaneously saves the day while cracking jokes and losing both special women in her life. It's Agent Carolyn.
Well, crap. That's not what I wanted to do. But sure, I'll save the day.
It's kind of a depressing episode at the end. We will get there eventually. We are continuing our Warehouse 13 series discussion with the episode that premiered on September 21st, 2010, 2 years before the PBS Nova episode, Deadliest Volcanoes, premiered featuring the Yellowstone Caldera on January 4th, 2012, and 9 years before the live-action Disney Aladdin movie premiered on May 24th, 2019. I'm nice. Referring to the Warehouse 13 Season 2 final episode, Reset. The IMDb description reads, Wells' treacherous attack and devastating betrayal in Egypt has set into motion the plan she has been secretly orchestrating for more than 100 years. When it becomes clear that Wells has in her hands the original weapon of mass destruction, Artie, Claudia, and Mrs. Frederick race against the clock to stop her deadly endgame. Shannon, your girl's in handcuffs.
Yeah. Well deserved, right?
Yeah.
How did you fare for this episode? I mean, this is kind of, you know, your girl gets caught, she gets handcuffed, Micah's like leaving the warehouse and everything. How'd you fare with it?
How'd I fare with it? Well, I think that it's cool that you get to see the real, you know, maybe HG wasn't going to go through with it until she saw her daughter in front of Medusa, right? But regardless of the big show she puts on, she can't kill Micah.
Yep.
Right? She can't do it. Micah's like, go ahead.
Yeah.
If I'm going to die anyway.
Put a gun to my head. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
And so it shows you that Micah knows how to get to her. It shows that HG does have a softer side and that she's just really still grieving. And even though she's been in there for 100 years, it may only feel like a couple months for her. Granted, she's still doing some psychopath crap, but still, I mean, it explains a little bit more of her backstory of why. I think it was kind of, I don't have a correct word for it, you know, brain injury, but she assumed that the whole world was like crap now. I mean, you've been away for a little bit of it. How would you know, right? How would you know that it's so crap so far? So there's so many artifacts in this episode.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was hard to keep track of them all.
Yeah. But I like the fact that at the end, the one that is getting punished the most is not HG. It's Micah for having her belief in HG. Yeah. So she can't live with herself. She can't stand the fact that she was tricked. And she can't stand the fact that, well, you know, Mr. Kusan, he's like, well, you know, she tricked us all. She didn't trick Artie. Artie did. He never Artie. Liked her. But, and even she said, Pete, did you get vibes? Well, yeah, he did. But he just don't want to tell her because why? Because yeah. Micah liked her.
Well, he trusted Micah's instincts.
He trusted her instincts. But Micah mm-hmm. let her instincts get
clouded.
Get colored. Because she liked her. So yeah. Now she feels the need that, I can't do this job anymore. So now I have to go.
Yeah, she can't trust herself. So.
Right, she can't trust herself. So even though Mrs. Frederick is telling her, asking her to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Like when she handed her the note, the moment she handed it, you could see that Mrs. Frederick knew what she was about to do.
Yep.
So I just find it interesting that the parallels of it where you know what HG is going to happen. You know what's going to happen, right? And you know she's going to get caught because obviously she didn't pull the trigger. And she didn't stick the Minoan.
Yeah, trident. The trident.
The yes. trident. So she was going to have to face the music with the
regents.
Thank you.
Yep.
Head. But it's Micah who had the most punishment.
Yeah, and did you notice at the end when Micah was doing all of this, she started to dress a lot more and put her hair up a lot more, like the first episode where she was stuck up and reserved and everything, because she's like, no, I can't even trust myself. I have to go back to the way I was. I can't do this. I can't trust my instincts anymore. I have to go back to just following everything to the letter of the law. I can't trust my instincts. I can't do it anymore. They're not right.
Remind me when we get to next season. You'll see that her and HG, because HG will, spoiler alert, if you haven't noticed, like, you know how many years has been off? HG comes back in season 3. But if you'll notice, even without her being actively at the warehouse, and even with Micah not actively being at the warehouse, they start changing and dressing the way each other used to dress. We'll get there. I'm just saying. You just made me think of it.
I didn't notice the change in dress back to her original stuck up because I was too concerned about Micah's reverse boobies. And what I'm talking about is the giant mic pack that happened to be in her bra strap on her back. And they kept on having her turn away from the camera. So you see the mic pack right there in her back.
I didn't notice that, actually. I think more because I look at Faithful's faces and I didn't notice her back.
Speaking of Micah's boobies, I noticed a couple things. One, I did notice
two. She's got two.
She's got two.
I did notice her in the suit jacket because she looked nice in the suit, right? It's very fitted suit. But also, while she's trying to prevent the next ice age happening, and each time the HG throws the trident into it, she does the whole fake where she's like shaking around. They shaking around because the camera goes right down into it.
They did, didn't they?
You're welcome.
They played right into that, didn't they?
I'm here for it.
I've got a thing about Peep and his vibes because he deliberately didn't say anything for episodes. And I commented on it. Like, where's your vibes, Pete?
Is it
because you're time traveling or is it because whatever? I noticed, and they didn't say anything. I think that would have been more impactful this episode if they had him say something to someone. Now, they were saying in this episode, they made him say that he trusts Micah and he was going with Micah over his vibes. But you didn't get that sense. The whole vibe thing with Pete was just non-existent through most of the season. And they come back to it. It was like a deep cut that was too deep.
Well, also speaking of Pete, if you again caught the parallels of it, he himself as a character had a lot of loss happening at this episode.
Yes, right? He did.
He loses his partner, Micah. She takes off and he goes chasing. That was the most pathetic run. I mean, he's chasing off after her and he catches her too late. But then he wants Kelly to be the one. And after the whole Lizzie Borden
Yeah, maybe, compact. You
know, compactor.
Chopping up her dad thing.
He decides, you know what? Don't tell me. Don't tell me because I don't want to know because obviously I know you're not an IRS agent. You're something else. And I'm not your one because I don't want this life. So he lost both of these girls at the same time.
Not only that, but we learned that he's a Browns fan. I mean, that's a triple loss right there.
I was wondering if that was going to come up. Can you imagine watching a Browns game from up here?
No, not at all. I mean, why would you want to watch a Browns game, period? I mean, they're borderline worse than the Cowboys.
You would if you were Pete.
I think he actually is a Browns fan.
Okay, I got a hot take on Pete here. I think HG did Pete a favor because Kelly did not want this complicated life. She did not want it. And by HG forcing the scenes that she found out that she didn't want it and she told Pete she couldn't take it and left, she did Pete a favor.
I think so, too. I mean, better to know then than after Pete like spills it all and then she's like, I don't want that. I don't, you know what? I'm out. I don't want this complicated life.
But why does she go after him? Why not Artie? Why not Vanessa?
Because you go after the person that you love. So Pete thought it was a good thing because she actually was going after him who she loved. That's what the artifact did. The compact and the person that it was with. You go after the people that you love.
No, I mean.
So that's why she went after Pete.
No, why did HG single out after Pete?
I think because that they needed to have a distraction. She wanted a distraction. And that was going to distract part of the team. And then she thought maybe it would take a longer time to find her, to stop her from doing whatever she was doing. That's my thought.
That's a good thought. Well, it did take up Claudia to help him.
Yeah, Claudia was his backup.
Yeah, then doing a little mixing and matching. I think she went after her because I think HG went after Kelly because Kelly was the only extraneous character to go after. There was nobody else.
True.
That's true. There's that too.
No paperwork.
That was the only thing she knew would get half of the team to leave her alone.
And maybe she's like, well, if I can't have the one I love, then maybe you can't have the one you love either.
That's a possibility.
Yeah. I mean, her daughter, the loss of the daughter hurts. It hurts big time. And she needs lots and lots of therapy for it. Absolutely. But she has Micah and she knows she has Micah. And then she just ruins everything. HG is a messed up character.
Yeah. Yeah. She needs some serious therapy. What did Pete say? Like electroshock therapy, and she tasted like an old grandma.
She's some snuggling.
Well, I mean, she threw the insult out there first that he was a mediocre kisser, so he had to throw something back out there. He probably didn't think that she smelled like or tasted like a grandma. Matter of fact, at the end there, I know Pete wasn't there, but at the end when they're in Yellowstone, she would look pretty sexy. Hold that trident. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, she was looking sexy.
Yeah.
I do have another hot take. The only reason we maintain Lena as a character this entire season was to be a hard drive for McPherson. That's the only reason.
Well, I think only a partial hard drive because she only had fragments. She's like a fragmented hard drive.
This whole season, that's all she was. It was a waste of a character.
Well, she also was the one that got lemonade and got Claudia back with, you know, made her talk to the guy in the.
Yeah, her boyfriend, right? From the warehouse or from the hardware store?
Hardware store. Thank you. I was trying to think of the other name. All that was coming to my brain was warehouse. And I'm like, no.
I can't remember his name. I'm thinking it was Billy, but I'll find it in a second.
That's not it.
What's his name?
Everybody's probably screaming into their headphones at the moment, you know, all two listeners.
Yeah, all two. Yeah. That's all there
is. It's this guy, dang it. It's this guy.
You just talked about him like three episodes ago, guys.
Todd?
Todd. It was Todd.
It's Todd. Woo-hoo! Look at me go.
Look, Look who wins the gold star now. Mighty Ho.
So she did have that part to her, but yes. We also find out that Mrs. Frederick can be one heck of a backup drive too for Warehouse 2, if only for a moment to figure out what HG must have taken from Warehouse 2 at the beginning.
That was pretty cool. A little bit scary because we know Claudia is headed there eventually and how much it must mess around with your mind and that sort of thing. Look, in this episode, it starts with Micah and Pete getting out of Warehouse 2. Then they fly back to South Dakota after Artie rescues them. Then they fly back to Paris to do the whole thing with the lawyer and HG's daughter. And then they fly back to South Dakota. And then they drive to Yellowstone or fly to Yellowstone in a helicopter or whatever.
That's a lot of frequent flyer miles.
I know.
I was just going to say that. It's a lot of frequent flyer miles. Either that or they've got some kind of transporter.
That is too much travel. They should have.
You need.
Yeah.
It's probably something in the warehouse that they don't talk about.
They should have instituted some sort of a Stargate inside the warehouse. But if you do that, then that shifts the focus of the warehouse. You're not only focused on the special objects and the warehouse, you're focused on the travel, just like you were in Stargate. Because in Stargate, that's like the thing, right? You get the Stargate for years and years and years, and then you get the faster than light ships that the gray aliens bring. And those are the two like things in there. And if you do that in Warehouse 13, it's just going to be too much.
The Asgard.
Yeah, I was going to say Asgard.
Thor! Buddy!
Thor!
Asgard. I can't remember Todd's name, but I can remember the Asgard. You know,
that's all right. I got Todd's name. We're covered.
And no, not the Thor that says, Hama! Need the Hama! No, not that Thor. It's the gray alien Thor.
Yeah. Little guy. The clone. It has cloning problems.
And the only time they ever talk about travel is like when Pete needed to get back to the warehouse for the whole Lewis Carroll episode when they told me he took the choppers or whatever. But I can't imagine he's always handing them plane tickets.
Yeah, and they have no jet lag. Like there's no jet lag to them at all. How do they do that?
I don't know, but I hope they're getting paid well. I mean, how are they generating money for the warehouse? That they're going out and they're buying,
especially since HG was giving it all away, trying to solve her problem.
That's probably a patent or two in there, you know, just holding more than likely a trademark or something like that. I mean, even Artie shows up in an iconic outfit in this episode. It was all the way at the beginning, but he was Jerusalem Jones.
That made me laugh so bad. What are you trying to be, Jerusalem Jones?
I love the part where warehouse is filling up with sand and they're running through. They're like, okay, it's got to be like our warehouse. There's got to be a back door and find an artifact that you could use, right? And what was the rod? The medical rod?
Yeah. The medical and rod the snake with a snake on it. Like, he's
like, not you.
Yes. Sorry, sir.
He jumps on the carpet and he's like, okay, go.
And go. And fly.
I'm going to mispronounce this, but it was the rod of Acephalus, I believe. Acephalus. The effects are unknown, but the snake around the rod came alive and hissed at Pete when he tried to touch it.
Where Micah robbed the lamp. There's so many cool things. And I love the simplicity of how Mrs. Frederick could tell if the rod or the staff or whatever was missing, because if Aruba was sitting down,
Anubis.
And they have it on the shelf.
Aruba, Jamaica.
If he's walking, then you're not. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was just because he was walking. So the Egyptian warehouse had hieroglyphs that were the actual signage on the artifacts that moved, apparently, depending on if the artifact was there or not.
I know. Isn't that creepy? I was like, whoa, how does it even know?
All right, so you mentioned the Minoan trident before. Lizzie Borden's compact, Lizzie Andrews, I believe it was.
Andrews
like Borden's compact. The Wings of Daedalus, the Primordial Tar from Pitch Lake.
Don't add water.
Yeah. The tracker that Claudia Donovan used to track HD wells, something from the Farnsworth aisle.
You've been messing around in the Farnsworth aisle again.
I told you not to do it. The subterranean heat sensor, the Corsican Brothers vest, the original 10 books of Plato. We've talked about the rod, the lamp, the carpet. That was
cool. She's like, Pete, I'm looking at the original 10 books of Plato.
Okay, what are they? It's a library at that point. I don't know what their power is.
So far, we're at 8. Is that what we have?
I have a total of 11 that I just rattled off. So the Trident, the Compact, the Wings, the TAR, the Tracker, the Heat Sensor, the Corsican's Brother's Vest, the 10 books, the Rod, the Lamp, and the Carpet.
That's a lot. It must be a lot.
Is that like a
record for how many artifacts have been in one episode?
I don't think so. I think the one that was magnetic, that we were, you know, throwing stuff all over the place, I think that was probably the record.
On her.
Probably. Yeah. Where the whole trek moved up with her. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the part where Micah finds the wings. Pete, I found a way out, because the hatch, they have to fly up to us 100 feet in the air.
Of course.
And she's like, here, put them on. He's like, why me? You're the one that eats like a bird.
Chirp, 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 chirp.
And then Artie calls him on the Farnsworth and says, close your eyes. That's his last words to us?
Not even a goodbye?
He didn't even say goodbye. And then you know, they if you notice, Micah covers Pete's eyes with that big, I'm guessing he used whatever artifact Artie used. That was also like a lighthouse something or other. That was another artifact that was used, because he used that to burst open the hatch.
Wasn't that the one that they used in the one that Claudia was handcuffed in?
I was trying to think, because I don't.
The lighthouse shard.
Yeah, but it wasn't a shard. If you noticed, it was like a big round, like a magnifying glass, but it looked like it came from a lighthouse, like one of the side places where it would glow through. I don't know what it was, but
now you're gonna make him go back and look.
Then Artie was like, well, don't just flap there, come on out.
Well, and then I was thinking, oh, they're gonna go up, and then they're gonna go up to the sun, and that's it. But then Pete managed to get him on the ground.
Well, they would have melted like the first one.
Yeah, Pete, you're gonna let me keep those, right? Artie, yeah, that worked out so well for Icarus.
See, finally we get to see Greek mythology into this one. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah, we did. So Shannon, last episode we asked you a question, and there was a lot of back and forth on the X afterwards, formerly known as Twitter for you girls. I know that you don't want to call it X. Yeah. Twitter. So there's some back and forth. I think we owe our listeners the resulting list that we came up with. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
The list of the women that are in your team.
I mean,
okay. Well, this is what's great, is because you'll say, oh, who? What about this? What about this? So we're coming back to this. Shannon has, you know, memory issues because she's had a stroke. So we are going to go over her list of girls or women that she would have seen last episode when she was in the trap with Medusa, right? So she has divided them into two teams, which were like tier one.
I would have looked at them while I was in. What was it?
That they would have. Okay. Remember the Medusa trap last episode?
Yeah. But I don't remember the question that led up to it.
The question was, who are you going to see in your dream?
Who do you want in your dream?
Yes.
Yes. Right. Who do you want in your dream? So this is the results. Who you want in your dream? The results.
So there started out with a back and forth, and you're like, no, I just want one, or oh, can I have three? And we're like, you can have as many as you want.
I ended up like the 10.
Then you went to tier one and tier two, and then you started saying A team. So we're going with A team and B team. So there's been some evolution in the intermeeting days since we recorded last time. Here is Shannon's B team. I'll start with the B team. It is Catherine Bell, Eve Miles, and Gates McFadden. That's her B team.
That's a good B team.
All right. That
makes sense.
They did not make the A team. Yes, the A team.
Yes.
Here we go. Micah Behring, Haley Atwell, Kat Burrell, Amanda Tapping, Emily Blunt, Sarah Shashi?
Sarah Shashi.
From Person of Interest.
Yeah.
Kate Beckinsale. Tatiana Maslany. Melissa O'Neill. And Jamie Murray.
I think it's clear to everyone is I have a type.
Uh-huh.
I have a type. And yes, I agree with all of that.
Yeah, that's when I was sending you the gifts of Two Boss.
Yeah, I'm glad you did that because I totally forgot about Two Boss. I gotta have Two Boss.
All right, so 10 in the A team, including two women that were in this episode that we're talking about.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a good list.
I'm sure you'll add to it over time, but that's the list we got right now. I'm confident that if you see Dune or Silo, that you will have an addition to that list.
What's Silo?
Silo, we talked about Apple it before, TV. Is on Apple TV Plus, and it's like a sci-fi thing where they're stuck in this silo that holds 10,000 people, and Rebecca Ferguson is the main character in it, and she's also in Dune, both Dune Part 1 and Dune Part 2, the one that was from 2021 and the one that just came out in 2024. So I'm confident. I am confident she will be added to your list as soon as you actually watch her.
I think the only other one I would add to the list, she might go B-team. What, Carolyn, was the name of the girl from Continuum?
Rachel Nichols.
And although she doesn't have auburn hair, she's still very pretty.
She does have auburn
hair. She does have red
hair. Oh, no, she's blonde.
She's blonde.
Naturally blonde. She is naturally blonde.
All right. Is she A-team or B-team?
B-team.
I think she's B-team.
B-team? Really? Come on, Rachel Nichols. You want her as a you do.
She's blonde, though. That's the problem. Maybe you want her as Kira Cameron from Continuum with the brown hair.
Yes. Oh, see, that'll work, too, because I don't like Joanne. I want Micah.
I'll take her from G.I. Joe. I don't care. Rachel Nichols. She's amazing.
I like Bridget Reagan.
And she's so sweet. I met her in person. She's just
Bridget Reagan. I forgot about that.
But from the sci-fi show she was in.
The Last Ship?
Legend of the Seeker.
Oh, not The Last Ship.
Oh, Legend of the Seeker. Oh, my goodness.
A-team or B-team? Bridget Reagan.
You're making her choose. That's just rude.
I got her on A-team here, but I can move it.
Blasphemy, I know, but I would remove Jamie for her on that list.
You don't need to remove anybody. I mean, what are you doing?
Okay, A-team.
You can have as many people as you want. There is no limit.
Yeah, there's no real reason to have an A-team.
It's the name Dream. But if you keep doing, we can have an A and a B and a C team.
We don't need an A and a B team. You're the one that came up with them.
Yeah, okay. But as the character, I didn't like Bridget Reagan when she was in Agent Carter.
Well, she was also in The Last Ship, wasn't she?
I think I saw maybe one or two episodes of The Last Ship. I didn't see that. All of
it. But is Kylie? Kaylee? I think she played Kaylee in Legend of the Seeker. My God, that's such an old show. No one's going to ever want. What the hell's that? That was created by the same people who created Xena, which is just as campy, but it was still good. And it was actually based off a book.
You say Kaylee, and all I think of is Firefly.
I know. As soon as she said it, I'm like, Firefly!
Shiny.
Firefly.
Shiny.
Kellen, what was your favorite part of the episode?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, there were so many good parts. There was a lot going on in this episode.
I'll have to say, it was very serious, very sad. It took me a couple watches before I felt comfortable enough talking about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
If the series went on like this, and I don't think it does, but if it did, I wouldn't have kept on watching it. Just too dark, too serious, too sad.
Yeah, I mean, it does get that way, but I remember it getting better, so I kept watching it. But, I mean, there were several good parts. We discussed Claudia when Artie was in the ancient artifact room, trying to get into character with the sphere spear, trying to figure out what HG stole, and he's stabbing things. And she's like, don't mean to bother you while you're handling your ancient spear, but she found out where HG's daughter was buried and sent that to
Micah
and Pete. And then she says, okay, I have a question for you. When the doctor was here, they were making suggestions that I'm the next warehouse caretaker. And being the nice dad that he is, or surrogate dad that he is, he says, you know what? You're in control of your own destiny. I will make sure of it. You can do whatever you want with your future. He's trying to reassure her, but as she's giving him that hug and you see his face, it's like, I'm going to try my hardest, but I already know what your destiny is. So, I mean, there was very, very cute moments between Claudia and Artie, even at the end when Artie shot HG, however she was wearing that vest, the twins vest, what was it called?
The Corsican vest.
Corsican vest, which it was owned by twins. So if it happened, she got shot, but then Artie was the one that ended up with the bullet wound in his shoulder. She's like, are you going to make this a thing every year, try to die on me? He says, I'm going to do it until it sticks. And she was like, and he's like, oh, come on. I'm going to be here to annoy you for many years to come. And then she's like, can I hug you? He says, maybe in a week. He heals.
Because that's how long it takes to heal from a gunshot, from one episode to the next, one
exactly.
week.
So, at the ago, you were talking about how, you know, it was sad at the end of the episode.
Serious and sad, yeah.
Serious and sad. My little bear was watching this episode with me.
Aww.
And she started crying when Michael, because I did not tell her, hey, Micah's the main character. She'll be back next season. Don't worry about it, right? I didn't tell her that. I didn't tell her anything about it. So I looked over and there's like tears streaming down her face when Micah was leaving and HG was being arrested.
Aww.
And then when I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, don't look at me. She hides her face underneath his blanket.
Aww.
So I'm like, yeah, it's okay.
It's sad. I cried the first time, so.
He'll be back. It's okay.
After I have been through some crap podcasting about shows that I probably should have stopped podcasting about, Arrow meaning one of them, yeah. I will not take a series like this and take it forward if this is what they give me. I won't deal with it. It was just too much of a downer. Whoever put this finale together did not give it enough uplifting to take the viewer like me into the second season. And I just think
you mean into the third season?
Yeah, into the third season. I think, you know, Jack Kenny was one of the writers on the episode. He's the showrunner. Nell Scoville has also an episode under the belt with Merge with Caution, and then does some season 3 and season 4 episodes. Those were the writers, and it was directed by Constantine Macris, who has several, a total of 9 episodes. This is the 4th episode, kind of in the middle there. I think they made a grave mistake with this episode being where it is.
They tried to make it a little funny in that they had a lot of funny lines in it, and there was some background stuff, like we find out that the Minoan Triton was the very first artifact that was ever put into Warehouse 1 by Alexander the Great. But yeah, it was a very depressing episode.
I agree. It was dark, but I think if you were a true fan by this time, like if you've mm-hmm. made it to the first and second season, you're pretty much invested by now.
Yeah.
And I would want to know. All right. So when they asked, well, are you going to bronze her now? Well, no, we have other things in plan. I would want to know. First of all, I think I want to see the bronzing of HG, but that'd be kind of cool. But we saw McPherson already, so maybe not so much. But I want to know what's next for her.
It's best that you don't know, he says.
I know. And then I want to know, where's Micah going?
It's more dark than it's mysterious. That's my problem. It's sad. It's serious. It's dark. And there's not enough mystery and intrigue and lightheartedness to take me to the next episode.
I get that. I think, yes, it was very sad. Although the letter that Micah wrote was very sweet, even if it was sad when she was leaving, because she said, Pete, you're the big brother I never had. Lena, you're the mom. You know, you need to take care of everybody, make sure Artie eats right. And then Claudia, let's face it, you're the only adult in the room. And I'm really sad I'm not going to be there as you grow up, become the woman that I know that you can be. So that was really sad. But also there were, funny parts, like, I can't remember why they were talking about, Pete came up with a line about Mickey Rourke. And I can't remember why he came up with the line about Mickey Rourke.
They were talking about death and coming back from the dead. And he said, like Mickey Rourke.
Okay. Was it because he came back from... He didn't come back from the dead, but I didn't understand the reference.
Been in a movie?
Or two. Yeah. Mickey Rourke.
Okay. Probably getting screamed at by the listeners.
Can y'all not hear the screaming going on behind me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's no longer spring break, so I don't know what that's all about.
Because it's bedtime.
I see.
Ah.
So if I had to choose a favorite part of the episode, it would be when Claudia was caught using the Farnsworth IL tech to put a tracker on HD.
That was funny.
That was my favorite one. I would have picked one of the other scenes between Claudia and Artie, but it's just too serious. And as I said before, she was not given a choice. And even though Artie is saying, as you said before, Carolyn, that she was given a choice, she is not going to get a choice on this whole thing. And Artie's lying through his teeth when he's talking about it. Now, in the end, she might decide that this is what's going to happen, but she's really not given a choice then too. So it's a little spoiler for the future.
And I think Artie's going to try. I think Artie might try, just because he cares so much about Claudia, to try to give her that choice, even though he knows it's not really anything he can even try to have a choice in or manipulate or anything. But I think because he loves her so much, he's going to try, but he knows it's kind of futile.
So let me ask you ladies this. You got the trident, right? And it causes extreme vibrations when it touches something, right?
Oh, geez.
So do you think HD took a little detour on her way to Yellowstone when she had the trident?
You get that little tingling sensation?
Yeah.
I think it'd ruin her vehicle, would it?
Well, say she got out hotel by the hour or something like that. I mean...
That's possible. I mean, what we did find out was how long she's been planning this, because that's the artifact that she found before she was even bronze that probably got the other person killed, was the first part of this trident, was the hook part,
right?
that she put on her daughter's coffin. And we find out she's not actually trying to bring her daughter back. She's figured out that's not even possible. So, you know what? This world is terrible. She says it needs to start over and the earth needs a break.
And that's how you get Silo. Just saying.
But really, she doesn't actually want it. She wanted someone to stop her, but she just thinks she's already gone this far. She may as well see it through until Micah gets through to her. Like, hey, if you're going to shoot me, you may as well shoot me. You're going to kill me either way. So shoot me. What's the difference? If you actually mean to go through with this.
She went into the bronzer already exhausting all the efforts of trying to bring Christina back. So she's just pissed off and she wants everyone to feel the same pain she feels, right? So yeah, so by the time she buries her, which is probably why she never put her in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so by the time was she like 1890 something, 1899?
Is what they say. I don't know.
When Christina exactly died?
First date. Yeah. But I don't know the date.
It's been a minute. So she's been planning this for a long time. So I think if you really analyze the recipient, maybe she's like, well, back when she's like, well, I asked to be bronze.
Mm-hmm. She was trying to figure out.
Doing it?
Yeah, I think she was really trying to see if she went into the bronzer and then at some point somebody got her out, if the world had gotten better and if at that point there would be some way for her to rescue her daughter.
Well, we do know that she wasn't supposed to be in there for a century. She was only supposed to go in for 10 years. They said that in an earlier episode.
Did they?
Yeah, she was only supposed to...
catalog that's misplaced.
So she was only supposed to say 1910, 1920 is when she would have come out.
Yeah, that wouldn't
have
helped.
She definitely would. She would not have liked that time period at all, would she? Or the 1930s or 40s.
She would have gone down with the Titanic.
Probably.
True. Let's see how this new steamship works, right? Yeah. She might have.
Yeah.
Well, she'd had some kind of grappler that, you know, moved the ice out of the way or something. Who knows?
Oh, probably. She probably would have invented something.
I don't know. The iceberg is just too big underneath. They, you know, it's probably more than 2/3 of that iceberg was underwater. Normally, it's like 1/3 above water and 2/3 below water. Pretty sure that the whole Titanic was doomed the moment it got anywhere near that thing.
I think they did a Mythbusters on that.
Okay. And?
I don't remember. But I think it was the fact that it was... There was no way they could get out of it. Like, the myth was busted that the Titanic could have saved itself.
Thank you.
Like, it could have turned in time. It could have. You were already going to hit it.
They busted it because they found that it was that big, you know.
And not very maneuverable because the rudder was undersized. And yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was just like a, you know, perfect storm kind of thing.
I can see her. Having a inflatable raft dinghy, darling.
I mean, there was a very touching moment between Pete and Micah at the end when they're both staring into the warehouse, and Pete's like, well, the only thing that's going through my brain is to quit my job and get Kelly back. And Micah's like, okay, then what?
Yeah, there's three words going through my head. Quit your job, Pete.
Quit your job, Pete.
Well, I know that's four words, but I didn't have Pete in there. Just quit your job. Okay.
But I added Pete. But she convinces him that that's where he needs to be, that this is his thing. If he wanted to quit and have a simple life, he would have done it a while ago, and that this is where he needs to be.
And he's good at it.
The whole time, knowing she's leaving.
She's about to leave, yeah.
Yeah, well, then he's just stuck there because she takes their car. He's stuck there. There's Artie's car, there's Claudia's car, and then... Alina apparently doesn't have a car. She just appears and disappears.
She's like Mrs. Frederick. She just appears. You know, Mrs. Frederick will be Mrs. Frederick.
We do know that Mrs. Frederick has a limo, though. We just don't see it.
Sometimes we do. Well, no, she got in that accident that one time.
Yeah, and her Chinese driver got killed.
Yes.
She's got another one.
Another driver and another car.
Both. I mean,
yeah, it is the warehouse. He got it
at the end of season one.
Right.
I think so. Yeah.
It was the season one finale. Yeah. Well, we've gone 2 seasons so far. We got 3 yet to go. We're roughly 1/3 of the way through. And we got the best ahead of us, basically, coming into season 3 and season 4. Then there's that season 5, which doesn't exist according to Shannon, but we're going to podcast on it.
It does not. And I'm going to hate all, what'd you say, season 5? I'm going to hate all 6 episodes of it.
Yep, season 5, 6 episodes, you're absolutely right.
I mean, at least we got an ending. That's more than a lot of sci-fi shows got.
Did we?
I think...
Okay, it was a fast ending.
If it was not, and I'd have to go back and look of whether they knew that they were renewed or not. If this... could have been the ending to Warehouse 13. I think it could have been the ending to Warehouse 13. This is about the same time that Alphas was, you know, stuck in that cliffhanger and it was canceled. So, yeah, I think...
Rude.
Yeah, right? I think that this could have served as an ending. I wouldn't have liked it, but it could have served as an ending. So,
yeah. I mean, everything was kind of wrapped up, so it could have served as an ending. Not an ending that was great, but...
Yeah, but we do get more. We get a holiday-themed episode coming up, which is a little weird because Pete and Mike are back at it again. But we'll be covering that next time. Shannon, I'm going to ask you the same question I always ask you. Do you want the IMDb description of the next episode, or do you want the TVGuide.com description?
That's not the same as before.
I know, but the freaking Amazon, you know, the Amazon description of the next episode is the name of the episode again. It's Secret Santa. That's the whole episode description on Amazon.
I don't remember, and I do remember TV Guides, right? I'm that old.
I remember TV Guides.
They suck in. Let's not go with that one.
So you want to go with the IMDb? All right. You avoid these as much as you can. So, okay, here we go. Pete and Micah hunt down a malevolent artifact welding Santa Claus and come to the aid of a businessman. Meanwhile, Artie is reunited with his estranged father, Isidore, after 30 years. This is technically Warehouse 13, Season 2, Episode 13, Secret Santa, but I think it's a one-off.
Yeah. But did he finish the piano piece that he was writing for his dad?
I don't know. His father, by the way, is played by Judd Hirsch. So we'll see Judd Hirsch in the next episode.
A bit Jewish.
Yes.
Jerusalem Jones.
Well, so
I just bought this vest. What's wrong with it?
Well, so is Saul. He's Jewish.
Yeah.
Rubinick?
Saul, yes, Rubinick. Rubinick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can just call him Saul. He'd be fine with that.
The good thing
he
about
might not
coming
be
up
fine to with you coming up to you with you coming up to him and saying, I love you. He might not like that.
I've met him. He's cool.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's cool. Yeah. You know, coming up to season 3 is one of my favorites, obviously, that season. But season 2 had some really good moments.
It did.
Right?
What was your favorite season 2 moments then?
I'm just saying we had them. I can't remember any of the episodes.
Same.
I like that, you know, you have Vanessa Cauldron, her and Artie have finally, it sounds like they finally have come to an agreement. You know, no more unnecessary growing back appendages, so.
Right. Yeah, that's because Pete took away the artifact.
No more unnecessary appendix.
We got to see the episode with them at the casino, which was hot. I still think my favorite episode was Merge with Caution. Even though I think it was Vendetta? No.
The first one was Time Will Tell. Second mm-hmm. one, Mild Mannered. Third one, Beyond Our Control. Go ahead, stop me. You want to, Mild Mannered? You want to say something about that?
Which one was it? Okay, which Mild Man? Which one is it where Pete hallucinates?
Oh, that was
Valda.
Beyond Our Control. Age Before Beauty 13.1. Around the Bend.
Around the Bend. That's a great episode, and then Merge with Caution is a great episode. I love when the two bookends.
Yep.
Yeah.
For the team, funny. With the wrestling for team. The yeah.
Yep.
Vendetta, you mentioned.
See, I just think there was really good writing in episodes, season 2. But next season, we get a new character.
Yes, we
I
do.
I can't wait.
The very
I
first
can't wait.
Episode.
I love his character.
We get Agent Jeeks.
Jinxies.
And then you get to see Claudia come into a little bit more of her own because mm-hmm. now she has a partner.
Jinxies.
Well, we the second A team. Yeah. That's my favorite quote. And he has his own talent and powers, kind of like with Pete. He gets vibes, but it's just where he can tell people are lying.
Yes, he's a lie detector.
Right. So I think in the next season, they round off the characters with another episode. I mean, with another character that fits well into the mix. Mm-hmm.
He does.
And you're still going to get to see a little bit more of HG. She comes back. They take her out. I think they put her into a Magic 8 Ball or something like that.
A magic eight ball.
You're looking at me like, what? Yeah, they put in a magic eight ball.
I have to. I've not watched them as often as you have. So when I watch them, it's kind of like I'm watching them again for the first time and going, oh, I kind of remember that.
Yeah. But I think season three has some really good episodes, too. So I'm excited for it.
There's 12 episodes, regular episodes in season three. And then they have a 13 holiday themed episode again. Season four is, they went hog wild on that. There's a total of 20 episodes in season four, but then we're cut with the just six episodes in season five. They were just given that to wrap up the story, basically.
Yeah. They did the same thing with Continuum.
But with seasons one and two and three, we only get 12 episodes, right? So season four, we get 20?
Season four is 20 episodes. I want to say in season one, it was less than 12. Let me look at that really. No, it was 12. I remember that.
That just means that. Well, so in reality, that means seasons one through three did really well in the ratings, that they were given permission to have more episodes.
Well, remember also Eureka was not canceled, but they just ended Eureka by that time. So they were just searching for something to fill time.
It was sad to end Eureka.
They could have ended Warehouse 14 with season four. And you would have had enough episodes and to feel like you had a completion without being rushed into the next season and wrapping it all up. But, you know, that's my opinion.
Season four ended, it aired anyway, on July 8th, 2013. And then season five premiered April 14th, 2014. So there was about a year in between the two episodes.
So when did season three end?
It was 2015 when I went to Dragon Con in the end of August. And that was when I first met Eddie McClintock and Joanna Kelly. And that was when I told him, I was like, you know, you guys got a raw deal. That shouldn't have been an end. It shouldn't have ended. I really love the series. And he gave me like the biggest hug ever. And I was like melting.
And it was about the same time and all that, either 14 or 15, that Defiant started. So
Defiant started in 2013. We've had this discussion before.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because also three. When I was there, I met all of the Defiance people, and that's what we were saying. We were screaming, renew Defiance, and it never got renewed.
Right. Defy. Yeah, we've had this discussion, but I was thinking of at the end of season three is when they were starting Defiance. That's what it was. Because that's I think that's one.
That's true. So, well, it's actually at the end of season three.
Four. When is Instinct? What season? Is it at the end of three or end of four?
Instinct is the 3/4 of the way. It's the 15th episode of season four. Is Instinct, and that aired on June 3rd, 2013.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and Defiance premiered on April 15th, 2013. So that's like 2 months away from each other.
Instinct is the last major episode you see H.G. Wells in, and she doesn't come back into the very last episode where Claudia becomes caretaker, where they're divvying up around the will. We'll get there. But that's the last episode. That's the last episode you see HG in. And let me tell you, fanfic went crazy after that. I think.
Yeah, you were reading a lot of it after that. I remember that.
The one I sent to you was based off that episode.
Okay.
So now you're going to go back, haha. And then you're going to go read, aha.
Well, you know, Shannon, I don't have that much time to read fanfic. I have to edit the show, after all.
You do.
You are our janitor, you know. And you do such a wonderful job, and we appreciate you.
Yeah, I know this, but for the listener, they might not have received this message from this podcast. It's been another podcast before. Shannon does crack the whip on any podcast she's on. If she records an episode, she wants it out that night or the next day, right? So I had to negotiate with her at the beginning of this and say, no, we're going to record on Tuesday nights and I don't have time to edit it until Thursday night. So it's going to be Thursday night. And then she fought with herself for about a week or two and thought, ah, that's okay because this show has been long gone, so we don't have to get it out right away.
That's exactly what it is. Because if it was Picard, I'm like, come on, we got you wanted to like record it and then air it like the day before the next one recorded.
No, it was just recorded. Wherever it was going to fit in. I think we were recording Friday night, and I record Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Saturday morning. And I had two shows that I had to edit, and I only have so much time. So I'm like, well, but nope.
And then someone will text Sean. He's like, really? How do you manage to do it that fast?
He does edit quite.
That's what she said.
Yeah, he does edit quicker than I do, but we edit slightly differently. So I do better in some things. He does better in other things. It's a good team if we were ever to team up.
Well, I think we have a good team.
Yeah,
I think we have a great team.
We have an A team.
There is no B team yet.
There's no B team.
Well, I don't know. I have my two other B teams.
Okay, yeah. Your daughters are the B team. Yeah.
If your daughters want to take over the podcast after we're done, you know, that's fine. They can do that.
No.
I mean, this is my favorite thing to do on Tuesday night.
It's the only thing I do on Tuesday nights. So, Shannon, are you done with this episode and the season? Or is there something you just can't think that you need to get out there, but you haven't said it yet?
No, I've been pretty vocal.
Yes, you have. That's not a problem.
It's never a problem for me, so I think I'm done.
Yeah. Carolyn?
I'm waiting to see what other hairstyles they give Claudia for the next season, because she seems to have a different hairstyle almost every episode.
I'm liking the hair.
I do. I always liked the way her hair was and how she changed it every time. I liked the growth of the characters that we got this season and the trust that not that kind of growth.
I'm pretty sure Joanne had something going on.
She had some growth.
That's funny.
Or some padding or something.
The closeness that Pete and Micah share as a, you know, as partner and big brother and sister, and the reluctant love that Artie has for everyone, even though he would rather just be doing it all by himself, but then he can't do it all by himself. So he really likes everybody there, but he doesn't like everybody there because they are always meddling in things.
Let me tell you, as you get older, you know, you can't do it all by yourself. And then you try to teach the next generation. You're like, no, I like that. No.
You're like, why are you doing it the hard way?
I know. I mean, you get people. So I'm a supervisor at work and I'm trying to bring up people to replace me. And there's a couple of promising people, but there's always the one in the office. You're like, what are you doing here?
How'd you get this far?
Yeah. Why did we hire you? And I haven't hired any duds. Somebody else has always hired the duds, but not me. So far, I'm going to knock on wood, but yeah. All right. So, ladies, did you get any feedback from this week?
Sadly, no. No one wants to email us anymore.
We just have people interact with my list.
That's true. We did have a lot of interaction with the list.
Some of us like, what the hell are they talking about?
I don't understand what they're talking about.
I replied to that when I said, see tweet below, above.
Tacos. We were applying the tacos.
Tacos. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if you want to get us with feedback, or you want to reply to something that we say, or you just want to profess your love for Warehouse 13, Shannon has an email address. It's warehouse13fancast@gmail.com. That's warehouse, the numbers 1 and 3 for 13, fancast@gmail.com. That will go straight to Shannon. Then she'll send it out to us, and then we'll be able to read it on the show. We look forward to hearing from you next time.
Or, you know, any kind of review on iTunes or reviews wherever.
Yeah, 5-star like reviews are preferable. Yeah. Yeah, that would be great.
We like all the things. We'll say them on this podcast.
Yeah, doesn't matter what it is. We'll read it.
Yep.
Well, that's it for this week. Until next time, I'm the janitor. I'm SP. I'm the monkey that presses the buttons.
I'm Sci-Fi Girl. Bye, guys.
Ocean 363. Later.
Thanks for joining us for an episode of the Artie's Attic Warehouse 13 fan cast. You can find all our episodes at warehouse13fancast.com. If you'd like to contact us, you can hit us up on our email at warehouse13fancast@gmail.com. We are a part of the Lone Wolf Podcast Network. You can hear more of this cast and other shows like it by checking out lonewolfpodcasts.com. The intro music is Sci-Fi Hybrid Intro by SoundMake, and the outro music is Science Fiction by Tunes2Go. Both were purchased on pond5.com.
Warehouse 13.
Nice.
Very nice. Very nice.
Can't remember the name of the episode, but you know, it's good.
Eh. It's Warehouse 13. That's all that matters.
It's the one where they went back in black and white in the book. Remember that one?
Oh, the noir.
Yes. Yeah. That's one of my, is one of my favorite ones.
Yes. I have the mug. The mug. You're like, the mug.
No. Carrie drinks out of them. She uses them for hot chocolate. So, but she doesn't want to clean them, so she goes from one. Yeah, so she goes from one to the other. So there are no clean ones at the moment.
So, okay.
I think that's valid. Beard or no beard, though?
Well, there's going to be, you got, let me take a look here. You got one more week of the beard.
It is the first day of spring, so.
No, April 1st. April 1st.
No, today is the spring equinox.
So I know. April 1st, the beard comes off.
Are you April Fool's-ing us?
No, it's just the way it turns out to be. October 1st to April 1st. It's 6 months.
Oh, so you have a time limit. It's 6 months. You only have the beard for 6 months?
Yep.
That's the limit you put on yourself is 6 months?
Well, I would keep it longer, but the pollen is just going to go nuts once it starts to warm up again after our cold front.
I thought you'd like wait till it gets warm and then you're like, all right, it's coming off.
Well, I mean, that's part of it. It gets shorter, but yeah, it's coming off on April 1st.
Yeah, no one wants to mess with you because you don't want to do paperwork.
Nope, but I'll shoot you. I'll put a hole
make somebody
in you.
Do the paperwork.
Yes, you there. While you're lying down. Write your name.
Never mind the blood. It's mine. It's not yours.
Use the blood. It's okay.
Use the blood. Write in the blood. It's fine.
Your ink will never run out. Well, actually, it is running out of you, but it's okay.